Hi everyone, it's Jenny and Lorraine back again.
Hi.
With our Next Sensory Matters show. But before we tell you all about that, let's chat a bit about World Autism Awareness Week, which has just finished, which went really well, didn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. We had lots going on. The Proud to be Autistic videos from our ambassadors, but also a lot of people from the groups got involved and sent their own videos in, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it's just been brilliant. The Snapchat takeover that myself and Jamie did was brilliant.
Are you now a Snapchat expert?
I don't know about an expert, but I'm definitely willing to give it a go.
Good.
Our ambassadors took up our Instagram.
Yes, I saw loads of great videos on that. They were brilliant.
And the feedback we got from that was amazing. So that is definitely going to be happening more often.
Great. Really good. And the thing that I noticed just generally, apart from our stuff, was that I just noticed so much more autism-related posts over Autism Awareness Week.
Yeah. And did you see the video from Witchery Photography that was the 2GEM just stuff? That was amazing.
Yes. And I know I saw that you were crying as well.
Yeah.
And you've chopped your hair off.
I have, yes.
And it looks fantastic. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's so much easier.
Yeah. You're not missing the long one. Well, it suits you. You've always suited short hair, but it looks great long too. So anyway, we're just chatting amongst ourselves. We better get on. So today's episode is Hannah from Stickman Communications, who many of you probably already be familiar with her amazing products and all the rest of it. So you will get to hear her story and how it all came to be and some great tips on how to use visual aids and all the different cards and things that she does. What else is happening this week, Lorraine?
We're going to review the glow-in-the-dark box in the Sensory Support group. We've got an amazing community success story this week. I'm really excited about this one. So it's a young lady called Stacey Carr Kennedy, and she just proves that it doesn't matter what you're told, if you've got the determination and you want to do something, you can succeed. So I'm really excited about people to see this story.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Obviously, we've got the usual Jaden's going live. We've got Bernadette doing Macathon. That's in the VIC group. We've got a discount in the VIC group for the Stickman Communications as well. That's going to be released.
Great. Fantastic. So lots happening. Okay, well, we'll get on, let you listen to my chat with Hannah, and then we'll be back on afterwards to tell you what we thought and what's coming up next week. Bye. Enjoy.
We love a nerd, we love a jet, we love to help, and that's a fact. So we have made it our mission to find stuff out. From diagnosis and education, slim it out of pure frustration, chat to folks who've been there too, collect it together and share it with you. If you know someone we should speak to, send them our way, and that's what we'll do. We like to have our sensory natters. You know what?
Right. Hello, everyone. It's Jenny again from Chewy Gem with another Sensory Matters show. And today I have the great pleasure of chatting to Hannah Enzel from Stickman Communications. You may well have seen her Stickman drawings floating about. Hi, Hannah.
Hello. It's lovely to see you.
And you. Excellent. Now, you've obviously have a condition yourself, and I know that you've got a story about an incident in the toilet. Can you start us off with that?
I actually have several toilet stories, but one of my classics is I was in a hotel in London and needed to use the loo. So, of course, in I went, and I was very pleased to see that it was part of the main ladies' toilets. It was just a large cubicle. It's very spacious, very clean. It was all great. And I was really impressed until it was time to leave the whole ladies' area. So I opened the first door, and it was quite a heavy fire door, just a bit tricky to open, and it shut behind me. And it's one of these places where you have one door to open, and then straight away you have a second door to open.
Okay.
So this door had shut behind me, and I was now sat here trying to open this door inwards.
Oh.
So I'm literally stuck between these two doors going, oh, help. What do I do now?
Yeah.
Fortunately, I was able to kind of maneuver the door behind me.
Yeah.
So I could open it again and get back into the room. into the toilet, but I could not get out. So I'm sat there twiddling my thumbs. Now I've got this part of my condition means I'm heat intolerant. So if I get too hot, I will collapse.
Yeah.
Or go like I'm really, really drunk, which is not life threatening. It's just inconvenient.
Yeah.
And so I'm sat there thinking it's hot in here. I'm just going to get drunker and drunker. What do I do? Okay, I'll phone a friend and say, can you find the hotel reception number?
Yeah.
And contact the hotel reception. Emergency only number.
Oh,
like,
no.
As in, no reception. I'm like, oh, my word, I can't believe this is happening. So I give it another little while. Like, just a couple of minutes, I'm like, I can't do this. I've got to call the police and say, I'm not even locked in the toilet. I just can't open the door. That's probably the most embarrassing phone call I've ever had to make. So I had to call the police. Fortunately, just as they were saying, yeah, we've got officers on the way. I'm like, oh, my word. Then someone came into the toilet and I was like, yes, open the doors.
Yay.
So I could get out. But it was surreal. It was one of these totally normal setups.
Yes.
Stick me in a wheelchair on my own. It would have been fine if there was someone with me.
Yes.
But because I'm an independent wheelchair user, I came this close to actually being completely stuck between the two doors and having to be have the doors cut out by firemen. It's a completely different world sometimes.
But is that something that now you look at situations and kind of think, what could happen? Do you have to preempt? You know what I mean?
To some degree, but also, in a way, it helped my confidence that, yes, something did go pear-shaped, but I got out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't treat, when I'm out and about, I don't treat life as like, disasters don't happen. Mm-hmm. I have adventures.
Yes, yeah, I've seen that on your blog, yeah. A positive spin on it, yeah. Yeah, good.
Yes.
So tell us your story then, and how you ended up being Stickman Communications, and you weren't always a wheelchair user, so tell us a bit about your journey.
Well, I've always been unusual.
Okay.
So as a child, I had lots of quirks, which we thought was just Hannah things. But then in my early 20s, I had a few patches of severe symptoms, but it was all dismissed as psychosomatic, etc., because there was nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Then in my early 20s, things started getting a lot worse. And because I knew there was nothing wrong, I just kept on pushing and pushing and ignoring this increasing symptoms with pain and fatigue and joint instability. And then it wasn't till I was about, by the time I'm about 23, I reached the point of asking a colleague how much pain was normal, who looked at me like I was mad and said, none.
Yeah.
So the fact I can't actually walk without wanting to cry probably means I should see a doctor. And they were like, yes.
Yeah.
At that point, I then started the pushing for a diagnosis of something.
Yeah.
It turned out I had hypermobility syndrome, or what's now called hypermobility spectrum disorder, which is, so I have a connective tissue version of it where all my connective tissue is too soft, so my ligaments don't hold my bones in place properly. Mm. And it also affects my veins and my intestines and everything.
Yeah.
So it's pretty complicated. There's no cure, but there's lots of things that can be done to manage it.
Yes.
So a lot of lifestyle adaptations, pacing, so it's not rushing around and doing everything, but doing it steadily to make sure I use my energy sensibly.
Yeah.
Lots of exercise to try and get my muscles as strong as I can so they can cope with it, cope with my bendiness. But so in the early days of diagnosis, trying to explain my normal to people.
Yes.
They just didn't really get it. Like fatigue, oh yes, yes, I get tired sometimes. And no. Just no. When I get really fatigued, I can't actually eat anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'll throw it back up again. It's different. We're talking a whole different thing here.
Yeah.
And people just weren't understanding it. And then I used to fall over sometimes, and then helpful people would be really keen to help and then try and pull me up when I wasn't ready to stand.
Yeah.
Because I've also got a condition that makes me dizzy when I stand.
Okay.
So I need to be ready to stand and have all my joints attached before I attempt it.
Yes.
So people would literally try and pull us up and remove a shoulder. And however clearly I said no, mm-hmm. it's like they couldn't hear it. So me and a friend were chatting about, we've got the same condition, we were chatting about what do we do? She said, oh, I'll make some of your stick men, which I started drawing in hospital in my early 20s when I was first diagnosed with the condition. And I'll try to make a card with stick men on. So I did. Mm-hmm. So I did a stick men card that says, please don't touch me until I'm ready, mm-hmm. basically. And it worked. People seemed to react totally differently to it. It's like they processed it in a very different way, which was just fascinating.
So why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is the humour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written down, so it's kind of official.
Yes, yeah.
And also, I think it's very unexpected. It's not a standard information card.
Yeah.
So people, I think, have a much more open-minded approach to it.
Yeah.
So when I blogged about them, so many people were asking for them and then saying, can I create them for other aspects of the conditions, for other conditions? And it's just grown from there. And now it's Stickman Communications, which is a whole business. And we've got over 150 card designs now.
Brilliant. Good.
So, yeah.
So what was your job when you were chatting to your colleague about pain levels? What did you do prior to that?
I'm an environmental health officer by profession. Oh,
okay. Quite different.
Yes, I was medically retired at age 24.
Okay.
So then that's when the stick man, I was probably 26 by the time I actually retired. And that's when I thought, well, I'll put the effort I can put into working into the stick man and see where it goes.
Yeah.
So officially I'm unable to work in any, unable to complete meaningful work or something.
Okay.
For the rest of my working.
Ironically, probably yes. What you're doing now is really much really more meaningful.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
Wow.
But it's great because I can work around the conditions I have.
Yeah.
And I also have a very understanding customer base.
Yes.
So, you know, if I put out a message saying, sorry, can't process any orders today, just can't break fog, people understand. And it's a very... It's a business that really works for me.
Yeah. And so did you have any drawing experience or did you...
Art? GCSE.
Right, okay.
So, no, not really.
Yeah.
But it's just because the reason it was stick men was because when I was in hospital, sort of around when I was diagnosed, so soon after I was diagnosed with the hypermobility aspect, but before they'd worked out that I had POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia, which is where my veins are too stretchy, so the blood pools, and that makes me drunk.
Right.
So my body can't react properly to standing up and postural changes.
Okay.
And heat and eating and various things like that. So they hadn't worked out what was going on, so I was drunk. They thought I might have had a stroke, but then I hadn't, and stuck in hospital, really struggling with speech, so I couldn't get a sentence out.
Right.
And sometimes I would know what I wanted to say, but I couldn't actually form the words.
Mm-hmm.
So I started drawing stick men of the stories that were on the ward.
Okay.
The amusing things that I saw.
Yeah.
I couldn't draw anything more detailed than a stick man, so it had to be a stick man.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... worked. So
well,
then
it's just such a simple way to represent everything, isn't it?
It is.
Really clear.
And I think the simplicity is part of why it works, because, you know, and also I think people can relate to a stick man.
Yes.
They see a stick man with a exhausted facial expression,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a cross and foggy eyes, I call them.
Yeah.
They instantly think, oh, I felt a bit like that before. And then they read the explanation with a much more open mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on your website and your blogs and everything, you come across as incredibly passionate about disability being seen as a different normal, as you call it.
Yeah.
So where does that come from? And
I think it just comes from, is my normal?
Yes.
And I find it very frustrating when people see something that is totally normal for me and start making a big fuss about it, or saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, why?
Yeah.
I'm doing something in a way that works for me. I've got a rich, full life. Okay, it's very different to the life I expected to have, but I don't see why disability has to be inherently negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get, from the medical profession, you get phrases like, oh, you'll end up in a wheelchair. It's like, no, you don't end up in a wheelchair. You may use a wheelchair for part of your life. You yeah. end up in a coffin, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
So this seeing sort of disability as an end, like the end of your life,
yeah.
might be the end of your life as you knew it,
mm-hmm.
but that's just the end of a chapter and the start of a new one.
So did you always have the ability to look on things in that kind of positive light? Or is this something that you've almost had to do? Or
I think it's a combination.
Yeah.
Because I've always been quite a positive person, but also I've always had to make the choice.
Yeah.
Make the decision to be a positive person, but I also made the choice to be realistic. So I'm not someone who says, oh, there's no such word as can't. Because to me, there's very real can'ts in my life.
Yeah.
I can't have a sensible conversation while standing up. I will fall over and get drunk.
So have there been times when you've been in situations where people have assumed you're drunk and treated you that way because they think you're drunk?
Well, I usually tend to I'm very communicative about my condition.
Yeah.
So I tend to tell people, if I'm going to spend a little time with them,
yeah.
we'll tell them, by the way, if I get drunk, it's yeah. because.
Yes.
But I have had, lying down in public, I have had people coming up and say, oh, you can't lie down. People think you're drunk. I'm like, no, I'm not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to lie down. Oh, no, you can't do that. Yes, I can. And I need to.
Yeah.
And that then led to a keyring card that says, sometimes I lie down in public.
Yeah.
This put to manage a medical condition. This yeah. is my normal. I'm fine. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
So now when I lie down in public, I have that next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just put the card next to me. I mean, it's a card. No one's going to steal it. And if they do, it's only £2.
Yeah.
And it works because people walk up, see that I'm fine. It's so normal for me that I actually have a card for it,
yeah.
which again takes away a level of their reaction.
Yeah.
Because if I'm so set up to do this, clearly it must be okay.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So this has obviously attracted, as you said, the attention of loads of different disabilities and conditions. And you've got diabetes, yeah. you've got all sorts. So from a sensory perspective, what are the ones that are the main ones that people are interested in?
How long a list do you want? So we've got a card for sensory overload. We've got ones for wearing headphones, what are these things called? Glasses, tinted lenses, that's the word. I said I have a problem with words sometimes. And we've also got badges that's about hidden disabilities and also headphones and tinted lenses wearing. So again, you've got the public announcement, I'm wearing these for a reason, don't question it.
Yeah.
Message. We've got cards about needing to leave a situation, being overwhelmed by a situation. We've got traffic light systems,
yeah.
both wearable ones in little clip status squares,
yeah.
in wristbands, in card form, so whichever works for the individual, where you can show without explaining.
Yes.
I'm fine. It's a bit dodgy. Need to be a bit careful. And org.
Yeah.
You
must have learnt so much about all these different conditions now. You've probably become a bit of an expert in it.
Well, it's a funny, I've got an odd level of expertise, if you can put it that way, in that I don't know much from the medical side of things,
mm-hmm.
because the focus of my work isn't about what is the genetic cause or even what is the condition necessarily, but it's here and now, what is the one thing I need the other person to know in this situation?
Yeah.
Is it, don't touch me?
Yeah.
Is it, I'm having a panic attack, this is what will help? Is it, I have problems with directions?
Yeah.
Here's how to explain it in a way that will work for me. So I don't have, in a way, that in-depth knowledge about medical conditions, but I have, over the years, built a very good understanding of the kind of things that disability can affect.
Yeah.
And the, because people think of disability as wheelchairs.
Yeah.
They don't think of disability, oh, I better check the lighting level is right. Mm-hmm. Let's have a quiet room.
Yeah.
Can I provide photos of the venue before the event so that people can see the room and get used to it and work out how it's going to work for them?
Yeah.
So it's, and because every time I create a product,
mm-hmm.
I work with people with who it would be relevant for.
Yes.
You know, first of all, they've requested it.
Yeah.
So it's not come from me thinking, oh, this card will help people with this condition. It's come from them saying, this situation happens, make something that will get it into the other people's heads.
Yeah. But how many requests do you have to get that are common before you go, yeah, that's common enough for me to produce something? Or do you ever do bespoke things for individuals?
I do sometimes do bespoke things for individuals. They do cost a bit more, obviously, because of the time involved. And my process for creation isn't as straightforward as most popular.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, so I've got a really long list of requests that come in, and as soon as a request is made, it goes onto the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of knowing the kind of things my existing customer base has and is interested in, if I'm like, oh, I can see that fits my customer base, it kind of is more likely to happen sooner.
Yes.
But the big thing is actually sort of inspiration and the right connections being made in my brain.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that I can't force a card.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to mull it over for a couple of months or, you know, any length of time until it's suddenly like, that's the way to phrase it.
Yeah.
And also how much information I can get from the person who's requesting it.
Yeah.
Because often they might say, can I have a card for so I've had people saying recently, well, for quite a while, can we have a card for post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that would be a really useful card.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, how can I explain it in a way that works for everyone?
Yes.
And that doesn't get so vague it's then not helpful. So I've sort of been mulling it in the background, and then one of the people who requested it then asked, have you said, oh, could you do something for my flashbacks that I get with post-traumatic stress disorder?
Hmm.
And I said, oh, a card saying I'm having a flashback, here's what to do about it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, so within a couple of weeks, I was then able to create this card that I've been kind of wanting to for years.
Yeah.
But I just hadn't managed to find the right
way to get it across.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. So, I mean, it has to, I think that's what's so brilliant about all your stuff is that it is so clear. It is just, it's almost instructional and just dead clear, because you're right. Otherwise, they're pointless, aren't they?
Yeah. And it's because a lot of the condition explanation cards that like charities hand out, they fill a very different role because they explain the condition in a fairly detailed way.
Yeah.
Whereas mine are much more, I mean, they work for medics.
Yes.
I have various medics contact me saying, oh, submit your cards today, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're actually designed for the social, just here and now, there's just this one thing that you need to know about how my brain, my body works.
Yeah.
That it's normal for me, and here's the normal that I'd like you to understand.
Do you have a favourite series of cards that you've done, or are they all equal in your head?
I think it depends how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
So I just like the most applicable one for right now. I think I love most of them, probably all of them, because it is, and each card has got a story behind it. So every request that I get in, like a lot of my autism specific cards came from someone contact me saying, I was on the train, lost my card, my ticket, so had a bit of and didn't know what to do and sort of panicked.
Yeah.
And then the ticket collector was trying to drop hints as to what to say,
yeah,
to get the right outcome. But of course, they couldn't pick up the hints. They knew they were being given hints,
yeah,
but couldn't interpret them because of the stress of the situation.
Yeah.
And then they started crying. And then the ticket collector tried to be nice and, you know, pat them on the shoulder, physical contact. Uh-huh. It was just like,
yeah, all, yeah. Yeah.
So a whole range of cards sort of came from that situation.
Yeah.
And actually a few months after they'd been created, they were in a sort of similar situation,
mm-hmm.
but the outcome was completely different because they could communicate everything, all the key points,
yeah,
in a way that just worked.
Yeah, that must make you feel amazing when you get stories like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I've experienced that kind of thing myself when it could have gone so horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Like, got out the cards. And what often happens is people chuckle and then apologise for laughing.
Yes.
And it complete, and that's not how you talk about disability.
No.
In your average stereotypical conversation.
Yeah.
So I think, because that is people's gut reaction, it creates a completely different field for talking about it and opening it as a normal to be comfortable with.
Because that's it. I'm a believer that 99% of the world and the people are actually good and they have good intentions. I'm a total believer in that. But I think there is a fear around how you say things and what you say. And it just stops conversations dead. And by stopping those conversations dead, it prevents progress in understanding it all.
Yeah.
So I think your use of humour is brilliant in that sense, because it does, you know, it's like taking the elephant out the room, isn't it? And and
or possibly bringing it into the room and saying, this is my elephant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You could say hello if you want.
Yeah. And it's okay to talk about it. You don't have to avoid it.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it's things like, you know, when you meet people who've got squint and you're like, well, which eye do I look at? And I now, having worked in, you know, what we do, I'm much more okay with saying to someone, which one should I be looking at? Because most of the time they're fine, you know, and they'd probably rather just be asked.
Yeah. Because it's really hard to concentrate on a conversation if your half your brain is trying to work out how to relate to something.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas once it's like with stimming.
Yeah.
You know, I stim because I've got very poor proprioception, so I fidget a lot.
Yeah.
And when I'm really tired, I have to sit on my hands or rock. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I lose where my body is. So I'm not autistic, but I think that's, again, why I understand so many of the autistic problems, because I've got so many little differences myself.
Yes.
That I don't understand what it's like, but I understand enough, like I'm looking through a keyhole.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean.
Yes.
But yeah. So then being able to say, chill, there's nothing wrong, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that then makes people stop wondering.
Yeah. So what's utopia for you? What does the world look like if we could?
I think the world, just looking out my window, the world looks snowy. Yes. I think it's one where we're never all going to know everyone else's access needs.
Mm-hmm.
because we're not psychic.
Yeah.
But where there's freedom to say these are my access needs and know that those will be respected.
Yeah. Yeah, and that I suppose is at the core of what you do. Yeah. Is your stuff just UK or can it be got?
No, it's worldwide. It can.
So, and you translate it all?
At the moment, I only translate for custom cards.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't have we're not big enough yet to actually stock it in multiple languages.
Yeah, I like the yet. Not big enough yet.
Well, I have various people saying, can we do them in various languages?
Yeah.
But it's not a yet thing. I do have plans.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me another one of your, favourite stories where your cards have had a big impact on someone.
Which one do I choose? Mm-hmm. Another one of my favourite projects was the working with a girl who was, I think, about 8, who had type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
And it was just so misunderstood. Mm. And as a child, you can't... I mean, I find it difficult enough to change the mind of an adult if they've got something in their head. But as an 8-year-old, you can't turn around and correct an adult. It just doesn't work.
No.
So poor kid had been, for example, at a birthday party, taken the insulin she needed, mm-hmm. sat down to eat a piece of cake, adult comes along, no, you're diabetic, you can't eat that. It's like, no, that's type 2 diabetes, which is managed by, in someone managed by diet. I have type 1 diabetes. I now need the sugar because I've just taken the insulin for the sugar.
Yeah.
So we made a whole pack of cards based on diabetes, just working with this family. And she said they really, really helped because suddenly she had the tools to say in all these different situations.
Yeah.
This is what it means.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And other someone else who was at a big event that they'd really looked forward to going to, but they collapse and have seizures quite easily, but they're not life-threatening ones. She doesn't need medical attention after them. She mm-hmm. just needs a bit of time to come around and get on with life again. So, of course, being in public, if you have a seizure, the ambulance gets called and then they want to take you into hospital for observations and it all gets terribly. And, of course, you can't explain it all when you're exhausted and just need a bit of rest trying to come around, etc.
Yeah.
So I got a message from her saying they've been brilliant. Just had an episode in public. No fuss.
Great.
Explained to everyone what was going on. I avoided any.
Wow. That's just, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I've had messages from paramedics saying, just picked up someone who's using your cards. Made our job so much easier because we could read what their conditions were. Got the brief explanations of them, got a picture of their normal all in 5 minutes without making the poor patient who's really poorly speak.
Yes, yeah. Or using unnecessary resource like taking them into hospital. And
Yeah,
we need to get these everywhere, don't we?
I agree.
They're just brilliant. So have you ever had a situation where the humour has backfired, where people haven't got it?
Only once, and that was when I was at an exhibition with some cards.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small local event, and someone without any interest really in disability, who was also an older person, kind of wandered in and looked at picked up a card and said, "But it's not funny." Mm-hmm. I think she picked up the card about hearing loss or something. She's like, people with hearing loss, they won't find it funny. I think they'll be quite offended. And I'm like, no. Clearly the cards aren't for you, but
yeah,
because it's so the only times people have come close to being offended is when they've seen a card in no context.
Yeah.
And also, I think they've also assumed that I'm able-bodied.
You're right.
And have thought I've just been randomly creating cartoons laughing at disability.
Okay.
Without realising that actually, no, these cards are bought and used by people with disabilities. Designed by people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously they're not something that not everyone likes. It's likes the humour in them.
Mm-hmm.
So not everyone uses them, and that's absolutely fine. If yeah. it doesn't work for you, then don't use them.
Yeah, exactly.
If it does work for you, then do use them.
It's the same with everything, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some people like things, some people don't, and that's it. And it's the move on by, though, if you don't like it, rather than
yeah.
commenting and being difficult is my,
yeah,
my thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my, from my experience of using the cards, I've never had anyone react negatively to my using them.
Yes.
Which is kind of the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably just people who maybe have not progressed into the modern way of thinking that it's okay to
yes
have fun with it. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I was going to ask, I've been asking everybody this as well, that if you were to have a desert island and it is... new, and it's a totally new society, and you can recreate all the laws and everything from scratch. It's a new world order. What would your three laws be?
Always respect other people's requests and compromise where needed. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you get access requests that are complete opposites needed. Someone needs bright light, someone needs... dim light, but that the respect and the compromising mm-hmm. I think is really important.
Okay.
Let people be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And find what you can do. Have a society that isn't interested in can't.
Yeah.
They know it exists, they're quite comfortable with it existing,
yeah.
but they're interested in is what you can.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's good. That is good. And what about from your bringing, I suppose, conversations about disability and into the open and making people feel comfortable with talking about it, what tips would you give to people that are... maybe starting to have a bit of a battle with how do I explain this to someone? How do I, you know, I don't know how to have a conversation because people look at me weirdly because they know I've got some form of hidden disability or visual disability. How do we break down the barriers and ensure good communication? And what would your communication tips be?
I think first it would be accept that you have the condition and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to be okay with, yes, I've got this, that's part of who I am.
Yeah. Because I guess then, then
that confidence will overflow.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think just being honest. So for example, I would never say I'm fine. Unless it's a code word.
Yeah.
But... unless I genuinely am fine.
Yes.
Right. Because if you don't let people know about your symptoms, I'm not saying you describe them all every time, but saying, oh, it's a bit of a rough day, but I'm doing okay. That communicates what's needed. So I tend to say, be honest,
mm-hmm.
but where possible, end on a positive. Mm-hmm. That helps people accept it much better. So it may be, I can't do that, but I can do this.
Yeah.
I can't do that because I've did this yesterday or because I'm saving my energy to do this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you communicate the wider picture, because one of the pitfalls is if we only communicate the negatives and the can'ts, mm-hmm. which in a way is what we most need them to understand.
Yes.
But if that's all we communicate, they end up not being able to understand it because they can't see that they haven't been shown the bigger picture.
Yes. Yeah. That makes
and also sticking to one key point at a time. So No one's going to suddenly understand the entire of my existence. No. Because I'm still learning to understand it and I've lived with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just sticking to that here and now, there's one thing
that
I'd like them to understand.
Yeah. So accept your condition. Look at what you can do, instead of what you can't do. And when explaining it, explain one aspect of it and end on a positive.
Yeah.
They're fab tips. Really good. So on the first one, accepting your condition, is that something that you struggled with, or do you see people struggle with that? Is it a process that you have to go through and then you come out the other end accepting it, or do some people never accept it?
It's a very individual thing. Mm-hmm. And I think in a way it's a lifelong work. Because life will always throw new situations up, and you might have a variable condition or a progressive condition, or you might acquire different conditions throughout your life. Life's a very changeable thing.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps I had an advantage in that I was always, as a child, I was different. I had lots of quirks, which we now know they're obviously because I was hypermobile, but at the time they were just me. But I was always had good self-confidence. I felt I was worthwhile.
Yeah.
My parents never judged my worth on the things I couldn't do.
Yes.
So I think for me that has helped me to accept my conditions, because I don't see them as stopping me be a worthwhile person.
Yeah.
I think if someone can find that actually they are still, whatever it is that's going on,
mm-hmm.
they are still an important part of the community, and there is still a place for them with their particular limitation set and skill set.
Yeah.
I think that can be quite a hard thing to learn. Because, for example, when I lost my job, that was horrible.
Yeah.
I'd been to university, mm-hmm. Specifically to do this job, to be an environmental health officer, and I'd started work and absolutely loved it, and I was really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it taken away through a combination of my body going pear-shaped and discrimination at work, and then being completely clueless,
mm-hmm.
it was really horrible and traumatic time. Yeah. And going through things like that, almost I don't think I was in a place I could even talk about or even think about accepting the disability, because there was just so much I was trying to cope with and handle and get my head around. But now in hindsight, that medical retirement was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Yeah.
Because it enabled me to have the time to learn to manage my condition and find that actually my role wasn't the only thing that defined me.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm capable of drawing stick men, a talent I'd never have discovered if I hadn't.
Yeah.
And then there's the volunteering with various charities. Like I'm now HMSA patron.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, and I work with Mind, various things like that. So I think it comes with time and work. And everyone's route to it will be different, and we'll all have different patches where it's harder and patches where it's easier. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone who wakes up one morning and goes, hey, I totally accept this.
Yes.
Yeah,
a bit of a battle, because especially for you, like you say, you'd had your path laid out. You were heading to your dream job. You were in your dream job, what you'd worked for. And to have that snatched away from you isn't just going to be something that you can go, hey, that's fine. You've got to adjust to it. Makes sense. But you mentioned discrimination. Did you feel discriminated against?
Oh, yes.
Really? Okay. Because they didn't understand your condition, or?
Because my direct colleagues were fabulous. I couldn't have had, in fact, everyone up to the director of my directorate, I guess,
mm-hmm.
was really supportive. So I had things like, I had a little air conditioning unit, because if I have the overheating problem. So actually my colleagues installed an air conditioning unit next to my desk because the office didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
I could lie down on the whenever I needed to. I used to go and have a nap in the first aid room at lunchtime. They'd see me going from able-bodied to wheelchair user.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just brilliant. But when it came to an office move, the corporate body was just clueless. They saw the requests that were being put in as political manoeuvring because my department didn't want to move.
Okay.
So I ended up being moved to an office. Yeah, there's actually a blog about it on my blog called The Good, The Bad and The Ugly, I think. But things happened like I was told, oh, this is where you're going to move to. And then so we're doing a walkthrough just to check it out. I thought we'd literally do a walkthrough, then sit in a room and discuss.
Yeah.
But no, the walkthrough involved getting to the main entrance lobby of the building and finding that there's this really thick plush carpet that I physically couldn't push myself on, that you had to cross to get through the door into my wing. So I'm sat on this carpet and go, I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. I can't wheel on this. And then the sort of head of HR and the head of facilities having this conversation above my head and behind me about whether it's worth replacing the carpet just for her. And well, we can't spend that much money just for her. And I'm like,
I'm still here
and I'm stuck. I can't even turn around.
Yes.
Like, and they had no idea that what they were doing was wrong.
No.
And that conversation was in the main entrance to a public building.
Yes. Eek.
So the level of complete oblivion.
Yes.
And then, so I was then, once we moved in, I told them about my heat intolerance, and this is part of a £500,000 refurb they'd done.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them, you know, I need to be able to keep cool when I work. Standard office temperatures can be too hot. So they say, it's all fine. We'll make sure it's all fine. I move in, collapse because it's too hot. And they later discover that actually they disabled the air conditioning in that section of the building and banned me from having my own unit installed. And I couldn't open any windows there.
Wow. So did you do anything, or did you just go quietly?
I put in formal complaint,
mm-hmm.
and I was due to be, and it ended up that I didn't take them to court because they gave me the full retirement thing. So actually, when I retired, I was better off financially than I had been when I was working part-time due to my condition.
Okay.
So I was incredibly fortunate.
Yeah.
Incredibly so. But I think that only happened because they realised I was instructing solicitors.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have cost them less to replace the carpet.
Oh, it would have. The irony was, so after I'd been made so much worse
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't work at all, and they'd said, you know, denied me access to pretty much everything. So I couldn't even use the, because of the carpet, and there was also, so they replaced the carpet eventually.
Good.
But not in the lifts.
Okay.
So I couldn't use the lifts on my own. And the canteen was upstairs, and I wasn't allowed to eat at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wasn't allowed to use the kitchen because I asked if they could just change the self-closer, so it was a slightly lighter one, wasn't so heavy for me to push, and then it would have been fine, it would have been accessible for me.
Yeah.
And they told me they couldn't do that.
What reasons did they give?
I think at some point they realised they were screwing up a bit. and then they went into cover their own backs mode.
Okay.
And like Uber official.
Okay.
So they got health and safety, and they had a health and safety rep come down to talk to me.
Okay.
And have a meeting, and they, you know, they, and that was when they said you can't have like a kettle in a little side office.
Yeah.
Because we can't have one rule for you and one for everyone else. Like, well, you've stopped me getting to the kitchen. You stopped me getting to the canteen.
Yeah.
And then after I left, it turned out that after I left, they put a air conditioning unit by my desk.
Mm-hmm.
After I'd gone off sick. They said, oh, you can come back now. Which they'd said for, which I'd said I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd said was impossible. And then they did it.
Yeah.
So clearly. And I also then found that they had an alternative lift.
And they never told you?
And they, because they said, oh, you can't use it because it's officially the one for the post trolley.
Oh, right, okay.
It wasn't, I thought it might be like a big commercial lift, you know, with,
yeah.
you know, dangerous metal bits everywhere. Mm. No, it was a normal lift. It was just allocated to the post trolley.
Wow.
And that was the only reason I couldn't access the canteen.
Wow. But it just all, listening to you, it just all sounds like it was all meant to be. You know, you've ended up exactly where you should be, helping lots of other people fight the battles that you've fought.
Yeah, and if I was, you know, miraculously capable of doing a full-time job tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go back to...
No.
My old job. I mean, I still love it. You know, I think it's a really interesting job and everything, but it's not as good as Stickmen.
No, absolutely. No, I mean, you're touching so many people's lives and making a difference. And that is just fab. You should be dead proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just really love my job. But also, you kind of have to, you have to admit though, that because all the cards are created with people, it's not, in a way, it's not my work.
Yes.
It's a very much, everything's a team effort.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the skill you bring is, one, you're the vehicle to get it out there, to make sure it's accessible to more people. Two, your stick men are just so simplistically brilliant at communicating. And then you seem to have a real skill of finding the right words.
Yeah.
That's very skillful.
It's I can tell what I've made progress in honing that skill, but it does seem to be something that I just naturally have.
Yeah. Because I mean, like you say, if you don't get that right, because you can't use too many words because people switch off. So getting exactly what you want to get across in few words is a skill.
But without coming across as too blunt,
yes.
or too offensive,
or too condescending, yeah. or yeah, really difficult, and you've nailed it. So well done.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think unless there's anything else you desperately want to tell us that you think we need to know,
I think that's all for now.
Brilliant. Well, I have really, really enjoyed chatting to you. Really have, and you're a total inspiration. And thank you very much for taking the time today to chat to us. It's been really good.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Wow. So that was Hannah. What did you think, Lorraine?
It was amazing. I mean, I love the stickman communication stuff, so it's nice to find out the story behind it.
Totally. She's very inspirational, very positive, and I love her direct approach to everything as well. It's really good. So as Lorraine said, we do have a discount code for her stuff this week, so make sure you check that out. That's available to the VICs, isn't it? Which is another perk of being a very important chewer. So once again, say it every week, and I won't stop saying it because it's definitely worth signing up to. Go get yourself a subscription, save money on stuff, and get loads of extra benefits as well, and more to come on that, hopefully soon. Now next week we are chatting to Alice from The Girl with the Curly Hair. Well, I say chatting. We are chatting, but she didn't want to do video, which is fine. So it's just audio next week, and I very much enjoyed chatting to her. Very, very interesting. So you've got that to look forward to next week. Anything else, Lorraine?
No, just everything. Obviously, keep commenting in the groups. The groups are doing really, really well. Everyone's interacting and it's just lovely. The community is really coming together.
It certainly is. It really is. Fab. Okay, well, we will see you all next week. Bye.
You know what?